Well, if you're visiting with us today, we've been going through a series on heaven. How many of you'd like to know more about heaven? All right. Hopefully that's everybody. And if you would like to know more about it, because we can only cover so much in a sermon series, we do have a Heaven Bible study that's started last week, so it's not too late to join. It's right over here in S4. You can get to it from the inside sanctuary, or there's an outside entrance to it as well. 6 o'clock. On Wednesday evenings, and John Owens would be glad to share with you more information about heaven. It's so important for us to know about heaven, because the more you know about your final destination, the more you know how to live life here. When we know where we're going and we can be excited about where we're going, then we don't have to be afraid, and we can start thinking about and we can start getting excited about and living for heaven. And our passage today, it comes from the book of Revelation. Revelation was written by the disciple John. John the Beloved. John is one of my favorite disciples, and so much so that I named my son John after him. Now, John, we believe, was one of the last remaining disciples. And he was exiled out to the Isle of Patmos, way out in the ocean. It's just a rocky crag that was out there. Nothing else was out there. And the authorities thought in Rome is, we can finally get rid of these rebel rousers. What harm could he do out there on the Isle of Patmos? But God had other ideas, and God brought John up to heaven through a vision and let him have a glimpse and a peek at heaven and what it's going to be like. And I want you to know there's over 600 verses about heaven. So there's so much that we can know and become excited about. So let's take a look at our passage this morning. It's Revelation chapter 21. And I would encourage you, as I send out sermon enhancers during the week, read the context of the passages before and after, because Revelation 21 here is one of my favorites and begins to give us a picture of heaven, get us excited about it. So read that passage at some point. But let's start with verse 15, and we'll be reading 15 through 27. And John writes, "The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide as high as it is long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. And the wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city's walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl." And now listen to this. Here's what a lot of people do know about heaven. "And the great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass." Many of you have heard the joke about the guy who was going up to heaven, and he saw St. Peter, but he was really sad about going to heaven. And he said, "I'm just leaving so many wonderful things behind," because he was a rich man. And he bargained with Peter, and Peter finally relented and said, "Fine, you can go back and get one thing." The man was so excited. He was beside himself. And he went back to earth, and he gathered up his most precious belongings, and he brought them in a suitcase. And the suitcase was heavy, and he was kind of dragging it along, and St. Peter says, "Okay, fine, now you can come into heaven, but before you do, I have to see what was so important." And so the man proudly opened up his suitcase, and it was filled with gold. Peter scratched his head, and he said, "Pavement? You brought pavement? Really? You see, we just read about the streets are gold, okay? And he brought gold, and, you know, okay. So you get it. But the things that we think that we can't let go of, they're going to be there. The things that are important, they're going to be there, but they're going to be even better than we could ever imagine." Let's continue on, verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I pray that if you've missed some of the other series, then you can go back and you can find us online and you can watch it online, because the important thing is, you know, how do we get our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And what if nothing deceitful is able to come into heaven, then what about me? And here's what I want to do. I want to take away all fear. And remember, we talked about a week or so ago about you have to make a reservation. And there's only one way to make that reservation, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself told us that I am the way. I'm the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And so if you're thinking this morning, and it says nothing impure will ever enter it there, and you're thinking, but I'm impure. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God for the grace that comes to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you want to know that you know that you know, then you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's your ticket in. I'm going to be excited to see hopefully all of you, some of you there, hopefully all of you. And the only reason I'm going to get there is by the same grace that you get there. I'm not going to get there because I'm a preacher, I'm a teacher, or I've led people to Jesus Christ. No, why? Because I'm a sinner too. And so it's only by grace that I'm going to be able to be there as well. And so I want you to be comforted. I want you to be excited about heaven. I continue to hear people say, you know, hey, I'm on the right side of the God's green earth. You know, no, you're not. You know, because when you die, you get to go up to be to heaven. And so I want to change our thinking. I want to change our thought process. How many of you plan on dying? Okay. Now, so far, it's about 100%. So if you're not, you better start planning for it. All right, let's take a look at our outline for this morning. And excuse me. Sometimes I get so excited, Satan tries to stop me. But and by the way, I'm aware of what time it is, and I'll be finished when I'm through. Okay. So number one, look inside your outline if you want to fill in the blanks, draw pretty pictures, whatever, but I hope you get excited about heaven no matter what you do. All right, number one, heaven has enough room for all. You say, you already told us that. Yes, I did. We started the series with John 14, and Jesus said it, I believe it. But the reason I'm saying it again, because apparently it's important, because not only did John get to go up to heaven, but an angel measured it out for him. What was the measuring rod made of? Do you remember? Gold. Everything is awesome in heaven. Everybody say awesomer. It's even awesomer than being here. So that's fantastic. But he said an angel came and he measured it for him so he could come back and tell us about it. Now, what I'm excited about, if you want to read David Jeremiah's book, it's called Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. And David did the math so I didn't have to. So here's what he says about enough room, because that's what a lot of people say is like, well, you know, think about from the beginning of the world and the earth and how many people have lived, and boy, that's a lot of people. First, I would caution you to remember, not everybody's going to be there. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But for all who've accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, your reservation's already made. You're already going to be there, and you say, but that still seems like a lot of people. Is there going to be enough room? Well, basically, here's how it works out. If you didn't catch it while we were reading, heaven is a cube. It's just as wide as it is deep and as it is high. And it's about 1,500 miles wide. And it's about 1,500 miles deep. And it's about 1,500 miles high. Now, Dr. Jeremiah kind of broke it down and said, even if there's going to be floors and different floors, kind of like in a high-rise building, and each one is a mile high, there's going to be 1,500 places, floors, each one of them the size of a continent. And you begin to go, oh, cool. Now, remember about these new bodies. Now, we don't know this for sure, but we know Jesus was able to do it, and he was the firstborn of the resurrection. We're going to follow after with resurrection of our bodies. We're going to have heavenly bodies, spiritual bodies is what Paul calls them. And you say, well, I wonder if there's going to be elevators. What if I want to visit another continent while I'm up there? Guess what? We might have teleportation. Anybody ever wanted that before? Jesus just walked through walls. He just imagined it and he was there. He just kind of appeared to them. He was standing in their midst, even when the doors were locked. And so we hope it would be exciting to have those kind of powers. But my point is that you begin to get how big this new heaven and new earth, 21, the earlier passage, tells us that heaven and earth are coming together. How many of you love the earth that we have? Isn't it beautiful? God created it, and yet we sometimes struggle because there is evil in this present world, and you think, wouldn't it be great if there was a place where there was no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more evil? Yeah, and it's called heaven, and we get the opportunity to go there by accepting Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Number two is a place of indescribable beauty. I struggled over some of these names as I was reading them out because I don't know these things. I don't know gemstones. I don't know, but I guess they're beautiful. I kind of wonder if John had to come back and ask some lady. It's like, okay, there was a red one. What was that? Well, that was the ruby. And there was a green one. What was that? That was an emerald, okay? You know. But you don't have to worry about taking your jewelry with you because it's all on the walls up there. It's incredible the amount of colors that you're going to see. And I wrap up every single celebration of life service by saying, and if your loved one could come back, here's what I believe they say. They say, oh, it's even more incredible here. It's more beautiful here than I could ever imagine. I want you to go out. I want you to have children and grandchildren. I want you to live your lives. I want you to love the beautiful things of this world. But make sure that you're going to be there. Do this one thing. Give your heart to Jesus Christ so that you may be where I am. It's more beautiful here than you could ever imagine. Number three is it is a safe place. Isn't that what we really want? I mean, hundreds of times the scripture tells us to be at peace. Jesus himself tells us, be at peace. You don't have to be afraid of anything. And yet, even Christians, there are many Christians who are afraid of death. They're afraid of dying. And you shouldn't be afraid of death, and you shouldn't be afraid of dying. And you should have expectations of what it's like to be there. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm torn. It's better for me that I go on and I go be with Jesus Christ. He said, but it's more important that I stay behind. But it's why he didn't mind doing the things that he was called to do. Even though he got beaten up, he was put in prison, and we believe even lost his life because he kept preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But anytime we have someone who's given their life to Christ, we don't have to wonder about them. We can cry for ourselves because we're separated from them for a little while. But we know that they're in a safe place. We know that they're in heaven. Even in our scripture this morning, the walls, if you begin to put it in American terms, it's about 200 feet thick. That's a thick wall. And basically saying those who are inside are safe. But the scripture also tells us that nothing impure will ever enter it. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to look it over our shoulders. It says that Jesus and God will be our light. There will be no night there. And so because of that, there's nothing that's done in the dark. There's nothing that's done that's shady. It's the gates are open wide because nothing impure will ever enter it. It is a safe place. Number four, it's a place where God is the reward. Everybody say God. All right, God is the reward. I want to ask you if you've ever been caught up in worship. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit just come all over you and you realize that you're worshiping and God is with you? And many times when it's with our choir and boy, you guys, you hit that crescendo at the end where it builds in anticipation and excitement and volume and power. And yes, they got Holy Spirit notes because only God and them can hit them. Can I get an amen? All right. But have you ever been there before? And one of the things I want you to know is that little bit of feeling that we get is nothing compared to what it's going to be like to be with God. If you ask the average person, what are they looking forward to in heaven? Then, well, first, if you're over 50, most of us are just looking for that new body. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to ache anymore. I don't want to wear glasses anymore. I don't want to, you know, we got the organ recital going on. We don't want to do that anymore. We want the new body. We want to have to be able to get up in the morning and go, woohoo, it's another day to praise Jesus Christ. I don't even think we're going to need sleep because our bodies are going to be that awesome. We have super bodies, and that'll be exciting. But if you ask the average person what they're looking forward to in heaven, they say, oh, I just want to see my mama again. I just want to see my daddy again. I just want to see my baby sister. I want to see my child. I want to see, you know, my great-grandparents. And guess what? If they're in Christ, you will. You are going to see them. We're going to know and be known. We're going to be recognizable. Although I did think about this last week because I said, we're probably going to get somewhere around our 28-year-old body. That was my best body. And then I thought about it and said, well, I told my wife, I said, nobody in the church will recognize me. And she said, I will. And I said, okay, good. But I think even in our best bodies, you'll still, Pastor Greg, yeah. You made it too. Surprise. Yeah. You know. But we'll get to see our family members. We'll get to see our friends. And that is very exciting. But I mentioned to you earlier, one of the disciples I want to get to know is John. I love John. John loves John. He calls himself John the Beloved, and he was close with Jesus, and everybody agrees that his gospel is different than all the rest. I even named my son John, and my favorite passage is John 3:16. It's the Bible in a nutshell. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish. We'll get new bodies and have everlasting life. But you can go and you can see. Who do you want to see? Who do you want to talk to? Do you want to talk to Father Abraham? You want to talk to Isaac? You want to talk to Moses and say, man, what was it like when the Red Sea just kind of opened up like that and you walked through? That was an awesome moment. What were you thinking right after you broke the Ten Commandments? Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't know. You can ask them all kind of questions. Let's see, Bob, are you here? Bob Morgan, where are you? Are you here? Is he with us? Huh? Okay. It's what? Oh, okay. He's away. Well, tell him we called him out in church, would you? Bob recently lost his wife, Jenny. Not lost. That's even a weird saying because we know where she is because she's in heaven. And we got to celebrate that. And I got to spend some of her last moments with her. And even as we're doing a Bible study on Wednesday nights called Isaiah, we're doing the study of Isaiah, Jenny had only one regret, that she didn't get to finish the book of Isaiah. And I said, guess what's even cooler? You can ask him. We're going to know, we're going to see, we're going to recognize, we can ask questions of our favorite Bible heroes because they're all going to be there. But even cooler than that is meeting Jesus face to face, standing before God. If you've seen our clip or it's on the front of your bulletin there, and this picture we have of Jesus embracing people. And I wanted that picture from the very beginning because I want you to know how much Jesus Christ loves you. You see this picture up there? Now, I don't think that's the first instant in heaven. Many of you know the song, I Can Only Imagine. And, you know, will I stand before you, Jesus, or to my knees will I fall? I've got an answer for that guy. Okay, you're going down. You can't stand in the face of holiness. But what Scripture tells us, when we humble ourselves, when we fall down, when we go down before our knees, it's Jesus that picks us up and embraces us. Don't you want to hear those incredible words? It's the only words I want to hear. Well done, as he embraces us in love and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Come on. That's what we're living for. We give our lives to him. We humble ourselves. We live. You've got one thing to do while you're here, and that is to get to know God. The only way you can get to know God is through Jesus Christ. The only way you can get to know Jesus Christ is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you pull, and you call, and you read, and you worship, and you study, and you come together for one purpose and one reason, is that's because we all want to be there for all of eternity. I want to ask you this morning, do you know? Do you know that you know that you know that you're going to be there? You don't have to be afraid of anything, because our God loves us. He sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for us, that we might be with him forever and ever. My friends, I pray God's blessings to be upon you. I pray that you continue to grow in grace and knowledge, that you live the rest of your lives celebrating Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Because we have the opportunity to be the ambassadors for Christ in this life, in this world, so that we can live and others can live for eternity with our Heavenly Father.